Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to Hour 3 of Radio Law Talk. I am your host, Frederick Penny, with Bob Kunin and our producer, Cal Hunter. Hour 3. Man, those of you who are with us, we love you and appreciate you. Buckle up, because we've got a lot of cool stuff that we're going to talk about. There's a Supreme Court ruling that just came down you're going to want to hear about, that we're going to talk about, that it has to do with social media. We're talking about Epstein, the bizarre stuff, bizarre lawsuits. It's more about money and why this is a little dangerous, what's going on if these cases go to trial and people are held liable for Epstein. Why is Texas suing hotels? We got a number of other things this hour. And then we have quick takes at the very end. And quick takes are, look, 3 hours worth of listening. We know you enjoy it and having fun just like we are. But you're only going to remember a little bit. And we're going to throw out just a quick take for you to remember for the week. And that's what Todd and I do, and we love it. Remember, we're talking about general topics of law. Seek counsel. We're not giving legal advice. Call in at 855-LAW-RADIO if you want to tell Cal something, or 855-529-7234. If you are hearing this after it's already been recorded, we are always live 9 to noon Pacific time. And if you want to listen live, and it is being simulcast later on some sort of radio show or elsewhere, make sure you just go to RadioLawTalk.com and click on the Listen Live. We want you to listen through the local radio stations, because we support local radio. But sometimes they preempt us with a baseball game or something, a football game, and next thing you know, we're not on. So anyway, we're having a great time.
It's a two-way street, man. You know,
we're year six, man. I truly believe. I think we're the second largest law radio show in the United States right now, and we've got to help. We need your help to get us to number one.
And here's an interesting. It's a small world. A person I know in my home village in far northern California is the morning co-host with the other guy who has the other Law Talk show that's very prominent nationally. She was just back in town last weekend. So we are all tied together in the big Law Talking family.
Nice. So she, what do you mean she's back in town, eh?
Well, she just came, lives up there, went home to see mom. You know,
gotcha. She doesn't carry our show, does she?
No, because it's on the
other one, the competitors. There.
Yeah, because he's on
nameless one.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, I can't get a handle on the name of it, but that's not the
point.
I'm sorry.
Now it's time to play
Case or No Case.
Gordy Cooper always knew his family was weird. One day when he was a junior in high school, his father sat him down and said, "Gordy, you know, your mother left us when she got pregnant with you. And then, within a day after you were born, she dropped you on the front porch of our home, and I've never heard from her again, until now. Now that you're getting close to being graduated in high school, she thinks she's clean and sober enough, and she wants to come and hang out with you and be a part of your life for the next couple of years. Out of respect to his dad, Gordy declined. The bio mom, let's call her Rita, was told of Gordy's decision, so she decided to go to an attorney to see if a court would force the matter, because Gordy's dad never did adopt him, and she wanted full custody, or at least partial custody, now. Yes, she wanted to know, Todd, if she had a case or no case. So, does she?
Does she have a case? Now, Gordy's dead, so the mom, do we know who bio father is?
Him.
So he is, okay, so how would
they
he
were
have...
They were married.
Okay. Why would he have to adopt
her? Why would he have to adopt her?
Keep going.
Okay.
You're doing great. I mean, this is why we present the scenario.
Yeah, so I would say that he is the bio father. When Gordy was born, she left Gordy on his doorstep the day after birth and has been gone for 18 years, and the bio father has been raising Gordy the entire time.
Right.
Okay. So I'll say that this is a case, and mom loses. I don't know what she thinks she's entitled to, but an 18-year-old kid should be able to go to the court and say, well, I'm going to tell the judge who I want and don't want to be with. I think that the only thing that really happens as a result of this is that the dad ends up filing an order for 18 years or 17 and a half years of unpaid child support. And so here she raises this issue and ends up, in the long run, with a huge bill, right? And based upon that, I'm going to change my answer. I'm going to say this is a scenario. It's not a case, because I think any lawyer that she would go to would say, well, you know, you could end up owing a lot. And so scenario, no case, no case.
To his credit, by the way, Gordy said his father never said anything negative about his mother ever. He just told him the truth about that she left, and he said that's the only thing I've really heard about her that might seem pejorative. Okay, Fred, what do you think?
I wonder, sort of, he had a stepmom, I would assume. I
don't know about that.
I don't know. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, so far I've gone with Todd, and I've done well, other than we didn't get the second part of the first one, but we've done well so far. There's no doubt this is a scenario, and there's no doubt that the mom, in my opinion, is not going to have any rights. It's not like it's after a year or so. Usually the mom does have rights, but after, 16 years? How many years?
Yeah, he was a junior, I guess 15, 16, somewhere 16 in there.
16 years old, round numbers. Yeah, only a couple years left. I think there's no way a court's going to hold that she's going to have any visitation rights. But they sure lean toward the moms. I'm going to say it's a scenario, not a case, but if it was a case, I'm going to say dad wins, and there's only 2 years left, mom. You can see him in 2 years.
So scenario, no case, so say you both.
Yeah, so say us both.
You could win, Cal.
Well, I'm always fascinated when I see the way you guys think over a case, to see your minds work, to pore over the facts, to pull out some details out of this. Here's what happened that his dad did that was very smart. Within a year after he left, he went to the court and said, I'd like sole custody, please. And the judge said, well, where's the mother? And he said, we can't find her. They had to do a search to try to find her. They did not. And so there was a case, and Rita lost because dad had done the smart thing and gotten sole custody as soon as he could. So she had no parental rights, no cause to see the child whatsoever. And so Cal gets a couple of points, which is
a rare thing. I think Todd's right. If he could have said, you owe me this much money in prior child support, even though probably he didn't get an order for child support.
Yeah, which is why I said that daddy never said anything negative about Rita. He just let it all go and said it's okay.
I think the facts kind of speak for themselves, right?
I don't need
to tell you anything negative about your mom other than what actually happened.
Exactly, and here's what you need to know. So that's it.
Wow.
It's an interesting story. Yeah, so no points for you guys. I'm so sorry, but a couple for me, so I'm so glad. Anyway, that is...
Mom's name wasn't Rita Lori Vallow, was it?
There you go. No, if that was the case, he'd have been buried under a string in a plastic bag.
Laugh about that. That is not funny.
No, too soon. Too soon.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, that's case for no case.
Thanks, Cal.
You bet.
Look, one of the biggest and most important laws that has been passed is a thing called the Federal Liability Shield. Oh, is it already all that time? All right, let's come back. We'll come back and we'll talk about the Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act.
Yep, as Fred said, stay tuned. There's more radio. Lots of coming right up. It starts to go fast in the third hour. So stay tuned. Lots to cover after this.
Radio Law Talk. Radio Law Talk. This is Radio Law Talk. Commercials.
and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com.
Radio Law Talk. I like that show.
This is a great time to call the show. 855-LAW-RADIO. That's 855-LAW-RADIO.
Yeah, there's been many, many people and companies and businesses and associations trying to find Twitter and Facebook at fault for anything that occurs from people that do things by posting on their site, such as terrorism. And these cases, Twitter v. Tamina and Gonzalez v. Google, came out, and they were basically trying to argue that the terror group, mainly the Twitter case, let's talk about that first, in the terror group ISIS, that Twitter should be liable for the death of some people because of ISIS put stuff on Twitter and et cetera, that in some way they believe caused this terrorism to occur. And there is a act called the Communications Decency Act, known as in Section 230, section there is a federal liability that shields these, you know, social media companies from being sued for that, and that has been out for quite some time, and they're trying to get around this and try to find that these social media companies are going to be held liable. Well, we're going to get in detail about it, and Todd's got a few things to say about it, but the answer is the Supreme Court just said, no, they're not going to be held liable for it. Todd, you have a...
Yeah, the Section 230... You might recall this really came up the last election season where some people were claiming that Twitter, Facebook, and others were censoring the posts of folks who had political commentary and that the posts were being censored based upon their political persuasions. And the argument was against Twitter and Facebook and these companies and Google, who oversees YouTube, was this. In order for you to maintain your exemption from liability under Section 230, you can't be deemed a content editor. You only get the liability if we're just a platform. We have nothing to do with what is said on the platform. And so there's this argument that their alleged conduct in censoring, as some people claimed, was pulled them outside the purview of that exemption. Well, these lawsuits here came in to say that, look, you should, these Twitter should have, by allowing the platform to be used, regardless of whether they have an exemption, allowing the platform to be used for communication and posting by these terrorist groups, you should be held liable as an aider and abettor to the acts that they ultimately conducted that resulted in the loss of life.
Right.
And the Supreme Court said, essentially, the way I read the Supreme Court's case, it was this. Whether Twitter had immunity or didn't have immunity under Section 230, not enough has been alleged in either of these cases to show that the act of having a platform that's used by billions of people. Yeah, I mean, have you ever looked at the number of hours of content that's uploaded to YouTube on a daily basis? It is mind-boggling. Wow. How much content is uploaded. And the fact that they provide this platform for people to upload does not make them an aider and abettor in the terrorist activity that was conducted by somebody that uploaded to the platform, and so the court held as such. The court made no ruling on whether or not they were entitled to exemption under 230 or not. It was just kind of either way, you haven't alleged enough in your lawsuit that would make Twitter an aider and abettor to the action.
And I like what Clarence Thomas, who spoke for the majority, said. He said, you could do this. If this is the case, it's the same as saying cell phones are going to be liable, email, and the internet in general.
Absolutely.
So where does that end? And I agree. This is going to open up. They were hoping, and don't forget, there was a number of other people, a lot of other people, what they call friends of the court.
Yes.
They can file their own briefs that were trying to hold Twitter liable and these companies liable, but the courts just, even if it's a conservative court, they're just like, nah, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah. I like that example that you used about cell phones. I mean, if communication was made, and let's say communication was made using AT&T or Verizon, well, does that make them liable because somebody called on those? No. Well, let's say the phones used were iPhones or Motorola Androids. Does that make iPhone liable? No, it doesn't.
Right.
And this was similar consideration was in this opinion, and that's why the court said, yeah,
that's exactly
they're
right.
Not liable.
So, which I agree. I mean, look, I mean, when, if that starts, we're going to be in trouble, right?
Absolutely.
That gets going. So let's talk about, look, there. Okay, this is the Epstein. Those of you who don't know, Epstein was the guy that was the, how do I list everything? You know, the supposedly child molester, the guy who had inappropriate relations with women without their, generally speaking, without their consent, went to jail, supposedly hung himself. But who's being sued right now? Okay, they're trying to find money. So all these individuals that were brought these allegations and brought these issues before the courts and before he passed away, were saying that they were sexually abused by him and they were minors at the time, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, there was a number of them. There wasn't one. There was many. So they got to find someone. So there's now suing the banks and saying that the banks did business with Epstein. Therefore, they know and they knowingly knew that he was engaging in the sex trafficking thing and continued to do banking with him. And this one is a settlement of $75 million by Deschutes Bank. And then there's another more coming up after the Deschutes Bank issue. We're going to talk about that. But this is, I worry about the precedent of this, about does the banks have to check into everyone's moral capability or culpability of all their depositors and what they're doing? That's the question that I worry about a little bit.
This is the $10,000 limit thing? No, it was just in general, right? I mean, anything.
Yeah. No, that's. We're going to talk about what they did. I mean, yeah, they continued to loan him money, but let me get into that when we come back.
Cool. All right. Stay tuned. Fred has more details on that fascinating story coming up on Radio Law Talk right here on RadioLawTalk.com and on many fantastic local radio stations who carry the show live. We welcome you and greet you.
Legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. 6 alternate jurors have been selected for former President Trump's hush money trial, joining the already established panel of 12 jurors. Opening arguments are set to begin on Monday. The U.S. is blocking the United Nations from approving a Palestinian request for full membership status by using its veto in the Security Council.
The draft resolution has not been adopted owing to the negative vote of a permanent member of the Council.
The U.K. and Switzerland abstained from Thursday's vote while the remaining 12 members voted yes. President Biden is mobilizing union workers to support his bid for re-election. Speaking at a conference of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers in Washington, D.C. Friday, the president highlighted how his bipartisan infrastructure legislation is fostering the creation of new unionized positions, proudly dubbing himself the most pro-union president in American history. John Schaefer, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If you pay my fee, I'll take your case. Oh, come on. Are you serious?
This is Radio Law Talk with Frederick Penny.
Oh, I did a Fred Penny thing. I say Deschutes Bank. By the way, where we live up here, there's a place called Deschutes. It's Deutsche Bank. I was like, it's Deutsche Bank. That's right. It's not Deschutes. Deutsche Bank. Well, we were talking during the break, and Todd's going to bring some stuff up. We're going to argue both sides. But, you know, for me, the person that, you know, let's say the person gets a loan for a house and does inappropriate things in that house. Does the bank going to be liable for giving the money for buying that house and doing inappropriate things in that house? Now their argument here is he, at the time Deutsche Bank was doing business with Epstein, they knew he was engaged, or claiming they knew he was engaged in sex trafficking, because at that point, that's remember the first time he pled, I guess, no contest to sex trafficking of a minor or something to that effect, and went on and continued to do business. And so, but still, are the banks liable for giving money to people that do illegal activities and menacing activities after the fact? And they're going to say, well, this has happened before the fact. Are they going to be held liable? Because, by the way, they've settled for $75 million, which, by the way, Deutsche is probably nothing compared to the publicity they would have by being connected to him. And now they're going to go after J.P. Morgan Chase, who also would loan and give money to that individual. And, by the way, they're also suing U.S. Virgin Islands, where he had his private island. What say you, Todd, about
Well, this? So I'm talking about the theory upon which liability could be brought potentially, and I want to make it clear that I'm not necessarily saying that I believe that this is, if it went to trial, something that would be a slam dunk or a win for the plaintiffs, but here's the idea. So Jeffrey Epstein goes to Deutsche Bank and needs a loan, you know, $2 million, $5 million, $10 million. Anybody who goes to a bank and says they need a business loan or something like that, the first thing the bank is going to say or should say is, okay, what's the business model? What are we giving it to you for? They do it. They take a look at it. Show me the ledger. Show me the profits and loss. And,
right.
And show me how you're doing. What's Epstein going to seek a loan for? You know, one of the interesting things is he's a financier, yet they can't find any trades that he's ever made or any investment strategies that he's ever made. So you're going to J.P. Morgan or to Deutsche Bank to seek this loan for what? To fund your private jet that flies all over the place and down to the U.S. Virgin Islands. For what purpose? What's the business purpose? How are you making money? How are we going to get our money back with interest based upon all of this? And I think that the plaintiffs are saying if you had peeled the onion and taken a look at his prior conviction, you would have realized that he needs the money because this is the activity he's engaging in. You just turned a blind eye because you knew you'd get paid back. And because of that, you're involved in it. And this is where I think it differs a little from the, well, what if somebody buys a house and something illicit happens in the house? Well, that's a little bit different in the sense that people get mortgages for houses all the time. And if you can show that, well, I make this amount of money and I have this house, if something untoward happens in the house, it's harder to show that the house was purchased solely for that purpose.
But you're assuming Deutsche Bank gave him the money for something illegal. Maybe they was giving him the money for some business adventure that he noted down, we're doing this, and that's why they gave him. Not because, oh, I'm going to go do some illegal activity. Obviously, they didn't.
What I'm saying is that the plaintiff on that rationale is probably why they're bringing the lawsuit. And I'm also saying that Deutsche Bank settled for $75 million without admitting any wrongdoing because they probably looked at this and said, you know, if this thing gets into full litigation with discovery and the whole thing is rehashed again in the press with people talking about all this, it's going to do a heck of a lot more than $75 million damage to our reputation and bottom line. We just need to pay this so it goes away.
Right. Well, let's go to all the prisons and everyone that's in prison. Go look at the banks and the financial institutions that they worked with at the time. And how they damaged families. Can the families go against those banks now?
Well, I would say this. For example, let's say it's a bank that is loaning money, and it turns out it was a drug cartel, right?
Or a house in New Orleans they call the Rising Sun, for
okay,
example.
Okay,
that's something against the law. Right?
Let's stick with the first example, the drug cartel.
Yeah.
All right, how is this money going about? I mean, you're essentially giving a loan to somebody and then getting a rate of return, and you turned a blind eye to anything that money was used for any legitimate business reason or anything. I think that a bank in that situation, if they can't look to any investigation they did and it turns out it was drug money, they might be liable for something like that. If it was money that was loaned out for legitimate business reasons that then happened to be misused after the fact, it's going to be harder to bring an action against the bank.
Right, and that's what I'm saying in this case. How do we know it wasn't the bank? That's my point. I'm just saying it's a slippery slope here.
Well, maybe they just crunched the financials and said his balance sheet looks good without going into purpose. His balance sheet looks good. Our risk of getting repaid is good. And I can see what, I mean, that does happen in small business loans right now.
Well, this seemed to be a lot more than a small business loan.
Right, but I'm just saying. Yeah.
And I know that, and this has been, especially since 9/11, especially since the 2008 banking crash, there are a lot of controls. I mean, look, let's face it. Somebody, a business can get a loan and never miss a payment on that loan and still be in default on that loan that would trigger all sorts of
nasty things
trying to recoup money and foreclosing on properties solely because on the balance sheet the P&L statement got upside down.
Right.
And I've seen that happen. And they never missed a payment. So there are a lot of regulations in the banking industry that control how and why and under what circumstances money can be loaned. And I think these lawsuits are aimed at nobody really peeled the onion on this one.
Well, isn't Fred saying, Fred, I might be wrong, how much of a cop do you want the banks to be? Is that their role
right.
in our society, right?
I agree with that. And, you know, interestingly enough, in other areas, they do place upon financial institutions the role of being somewhat of a cop. For example, take elder abuse.
Right.
If I start caring for some elderly person, and I've worked there for a week, and the next thing you know, I'm going into a bank and saying, hey, by the way, yeah, my name needs to be put on all this, and here's some paperwork to put my name on the title of the house and everything. The banks are mandated reporters.
True story.
The law requires them to call and say, there's something wrong here, uh-huh. right? Now, don't necessarily know that they're mandated reporters in the case of Epstein, but I use that as an example to say there are instances when we call on banks to do that because ultimately when you want to find wrongdoing, what do they say?
Follow the money.
Follow the money, and the banks are the ones that are the gatekeepers of where it goes.
Right. So. Well, that's interesting. Good. It's a good thing. We're going to continue to follow this. Texas. Texas is just settling a lawsuit with Marriott. This is a quick one. The Marriott International, by the way, the settlement, Marriott is denying any wrongdoing, but they decided to go ahead and settle. That they're claiming that Marriott, and now they're going after Hyatt, are not being transparent in displaying resort fees, and they're misleading customers or consumers about hidden fees. So I'm bringing it up right now. We're just, this is like a, again, this is at the end of our, this is hour three toward the end, so we're just hitting these as quick as we can. We're going to be following this, but there's lawsuits saying that, hey, they're kind of hiding some of the fees that they need to be more prominent or told to people. Oh my gosh, I just got a hotel room the other day and it was just like, oh man, it's only $295, you know, because it's a nicer place. What? 410? How did it get to 410, you know?
Now, I just want to be clear that this lawsuit apparently does not cover that fee for the $17 movie, the title of which is blocked out on the bill that shows up on the company corporate credit card. What the heck?
You have a little experience from that?
I'm commenting for a friend. Yeah. And so, you know, just as a general note.
I think the movie's called My Bank and Me, but never mind.
Oh my gosh! Who would have ever thought, right? If that happens, if you have to turn that TV on, open the drawer next to you and read one of those books.
Yeah,
either read the Bible or one of those LDS Book of Mormon books that are in the Marriott one.
I watched a movie and had a Coke out of the mini bar, and that sent me back $50. What the heck?
You got to be careful. Some of those mini bars, you lift something up, it charges you.
I know.
You put it back, you lift it, and it gets charged. We'll be back. We got more. We're going to talk about General Hospital coming back. And then don't forget, we're going to do our quick takes. This is the last segment, man. Hang on. This is great.
Yeah. Radio Law Talk is going to continue, so you stay right there as the big broadcast is not done yet. Plenty coming up on Radio Law Talk.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com. Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
I need some extra money. Do I qualify for the Earned Income Tax Credit?
Use the EITC Assistant tool. With just a little information, this tool helps you calculate eligibility with ease and accuracy, get an estimate of how much credit you qualify for, and get a printout of your results before you prepare your return or visit your tax preparer. To use the EITC Assistant tool and see if you're eligible to claim the credit, visit irs.gov/EITC.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Red rules. Are you serious?
You're listening to Radio Law Talk. And now back to the show.
We should probably let Cal talk more about this. It's about General Hospital since he watches it all the time. And so General Hospital star Haley Poulos, which I don't watch General Hospital, apparently was driving the wrong way and gets in a crash. By the way, she's driving the wrong way. It's about 1:30 a.m. in the morning. It's April 29th. She's driving the wrong way. She's hammered drunk.
Allegedly.
Hits a vehicle and then keeps driving. So not only is she gonna, they're trying to prosecute her for drunk driving, they're prosecuting her for hit and run too. Hits the car, keeps going, then gets in a bad accident and injures herself and another person in the vehicle. They use the jaws of life to rescue her and get her out, and she's being prosecuted for the hit and run and for DUI. Now, here's the thing that Todd and I were talking about that's interesting. So, first of all, is there any other issues that she had in the past? I can't remember.
She's 24 years old. Yeah, she was a child actor on General Hospital, and now her character, and she's 24 now, so the character has moved into adulthood. So she's been on the show for a long time. And I should point out that she's charged with felony DUI. Now, the only way a DUI can be a felony, a first-time DUI can be a felony, is if it's a DUI with injury. And apparently there were major injuries to the person in the car that she hit.
Right.
And so she's charged with felony DUI, and she's also charged with the hit and run.
Right.
Right.
So the question is, and now she says, I'll be back. You know, I have to take care of my injuries from an accident that I was in. She doesn't bring up anything else. And the general hospital says the star will be temporarily replaced with another actress. So Todd's like,
that one struck me as kind of interesting. First thing you got to understand about soap operas is the writing in soap operas is just a step ahead of the actual filming schedule. And there are rewrites that happen all the time. And it would be very easy to explain the absence of this character through writing to say, oh, you know, kidnapped or, you know, lost at sea or something, to do that on the quick if they thought that this absence was going to be of a short duration. But the fact that they recast the roles, they're going to have another actor come in, and maybe she can step back in, and I'm certain that, you know, maybe maybe General Hospital does the rewrite. Well, she had that facial reconstruction surgery, so she looked like somebody else for a while, like that Nick Cage, right. John Travolta movie called Face Off, and then it was changed back with no scar tissue at all, and everything's fine. That's how they handle it, fine, but it kind of seems to me like General Hospital thinks she's going to be out for a while, and I'll tell you what, with a felony DUI, and with what was reported as her conduct toward the officer, I read one story that said that when the officer was helping her on the day, she was complaining because this is a $400 shirt, and you got somebody suffered major injuries, and she was rude to the hospital staff.
That's a shame. So we're going to see, from a production standpoint, Amnesia, Evil Twin, Kidnap, or some soap opera.
Yes, could be.
But that's not the story. The story is somebody got hurt badly because of her.
Very badly. Right.
Well, but they're gonna have to change the story somehow. I think they just write her out of the whole thing.
No, that would be easy.
They could. They could, you know.
Or maybe someone walks around with bandages when she comes back.
That's a good one.
And said she was burned, and then they wait. And
when they wake up, it's the reconstructive, and that's why it's somebody different.
Face reconstruction.
Yeah.
Surgery.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. Okay, the United States Supreme Court, this went all the way to Supreme Court. The first thing we want to talk about, death row inmates. Now, I brought this up before. I have a friend who is an attorney general and a very conservative person that, believe it or not, is against the death penalty. And you know why he's against the death penalty? Not because they shouldn't be put to death, in his opinion. He says it costs the United States or the whatever state it is, millions and millions of dollars for every case that has to go before all the courts and the fighting concerning a death penalty. Cheaper just to keep them in for the rest of their life. Like, not a little bit, like massive amounts of cost. But here's a guy that is on death row. Which state was it again? I knew the state. What was it? Do you remember?
Oh,
I'll get it in a second.
Alabama.
He's on death row. This guy in 1988 murders someone. That's 35 years ago, and he's just now coming up for the death penalty. It's just going to occur. And he's 57 years old. And by the way, I want to say that his argument's always been along as cruel and unusual punishment. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And that's the Eighth Amendment, right?
Yep.
And then the most interesting thing of this 1988 murder is he knifes to death this lady and bludgeons her to death, ordered by the pastor at the church, right?
It was a Christian minister's wife that was killed, and the Christian minister was the one who hired the hitman to do it, and the Christian minister later killed himself after the hitman was caught.
Right.
And this is the hitman. The story we're talking about is the guy that was hired to kill this person.
Now, what's ironic is he's arguing this cruel and unusual punishment. As he knifed this lady multiple times and bludgeoned her to death, it's cruel and unusual punishment that he is going to be injected. In Alabama, it's the injections. They do injections, right?
Yes.
And that's how they're put to death. So here's what's interesting. He argues that. They said, too bad, so sad. Go in, and we're going to put you to death. and it fails. It doesn't work. He's under the stress of I'm dying, and yet it doesn't work. Like, well, didn't work. Well, let's send you back to the here. Go back to your jail cell. And he files a lawsuit in the United States Supreme Court. Allows his case to go forward about this cruel and unusual punishment. Now, he is never arguing that he shouldn't get the death penalty. He just thinks that he should be killed by what the oxygen, not oxygen, they put the mask on. What's the mask they put in?
The gas chamber.
The gas. Yeah. No, it's not the gas chamber. They put a, hold on, I think it's the nitrogen.
Yeah,
nitrogen on
dental laughing gas.
And that's how you die. And by the way, his argument is it's cruel and unusual punishment because apparently when you do the execution through the intravenous, apparently there's such sensations of drowning or choking. Now, I don't know, what...
I wonder if there's a sensation of being stabbed and bludgeoned to death.
Yes.
Which is exactly what his victim felt, but...
Yeah, and so that's why people don't feel sorry. But anyway, the Supreme Court has held that he has the right to bring this lawsuit, because like you said, Todd, it actually happened that it didn't work, and this cruel and unusual punishment of him going through and the stress and the strain, and his argument is the anxiety of this happening, apparently, of having to go through this is an Eighth Amendment cruel and unusual punishment.
And let's remember that one of the reasons that the Supreme Court will take up a case of them, one of the reasons is where you have competing holdings from different jurisdictions and they have to make it uniform. Another one is this an issue that could recur with other people? So not necessarily what this dude is entitled to, but since there are questions about the propriety and effectiveness of lethal injection, the facts of this guy's case notwithstanding, it's something that could keep coming up. And so, maybe we need to take a look at this if there's a rise in the instances of trying to put somebody to death by way of lethal injection and the person survives it. So, we'll see. While all of this is happening, you got Idaho that's putting the firing squad back on the table.
There you go.
Effectiveness not questioned.
All right,
now it's time for Todd and Fred's quick takes as we get ready to wrap up this 3-hour episode of Radio Law Talk. Mr. Penny, what is your quick take?
One way to avoid cruel and unusual punishment, it's quite simple. Stop stabbing people and bludgeoning them to death. Then you don't have to go through it.
Okay, I think that's reasonable. Todd, what's your take?
My quick take is I really miss Denise today. Wish she would have been here.
Well, that's fake. We'll be back next week.
Fake
Pacific time, 9 to noon every Saturday. See ya.
Fake and sweet. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening to Radio Love.
Listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.